I'm here with Alexander Mercurs, editor-in-chief of the Duran. Alexander, trouble for Merkel. We did a video on Merkel and the Thuringia vote, I believe about a week ago, and it looks like we've got some fallout, some big fallout, in response to it, to those results. So, what's going on in Germany, Alexander?
Well, what we are looking at increasingly is growing dissension against Merkel from within the coalition. So we see more and more people increasingly going their own way. A short time ago, there was an announcement from the German Defense Ministry that they wanted to send a peacekeeping force to northeast Syria to replace the US forces there. A crazy idea. It turns out that this was an idea cooked up by AKK. I'm going to call her AKK. I can't get her name easily. It doesn't easily come off my mouth. But she is the anointed successor of Angela Merkel. Apparently, she took that decision on her own without even really consulting Merkel. And that created massive anger within the coalition. And the SPD completely shot it down. Now, we have Scholz, who is the finance minister, who's a key official within the SPD and who's now maneuvering to become the leader of the SPD. He wants to move forward with a project for a banking union in the EU. Merkel was not even consulted about that. And apparently she's not happy. Outside Germany, we have Emmanuel Macron, the man who's scheming to replace Merkel, who's talking increasingly about how NATO is suffering a brain drain. NATO being, of course, the other great institution of which Merkel has been a key prop. And he talks again about the need for an engagement, a positive engagement with Russia and a gradual loosening of the ties with the US. And it was clearly in part comments directed against Merkel, and she has reacted, she's responded angrily to those comments by Macron, saying that she doesn't recognize the state of NATO that Macron is describing. And it seems that within the CDU, Merkel's own party, there is a groundswell of opposition, including from many of the mainstream members of the CDU, people who have supported Merkel loyally through thick and thin over these last few years. For them, they're utterly shocked by what has happened in the recent state election in Thuringia, where the CDU came third after the AfD. And there's even been now, for the first time, a serious proposal from some people in the CDU who are going completely against Merkel's orthodoxy. They're saying that the CDU needs to start talking to the AfD and even showing willingness to work with them. In other words, bring the AfD out from this political ghetto to which Merkel has been trying to keep them. So everything in Germany seems at the moment to be in flux. More and more people are becoming more and more worried and angry about Merkel. There's been comments from other CDU figures about Germany being in a state of drift and that there being a political vacuum there. But all these criticisms, all these comments, still no sign that anybody is prepared to do the deed and tell Merkel to go.
Yeah, Merkel is extremely resilient. Yes. I mean, we thought she was on her way out many times, but survived. Absolutely. Alexander, CDU, AfD, Macron, do they even want to engage with Merkel? You said to bring the AfD out of this political ghetto that Merkel's tried to keep them in.
Yes.
But I don't think that AfD needs them. I mean, they've had a meteoric rise. It seems that Macron doesn't want to deal with Merkel. And from what, to you, it sounds that the CDU, or at least some key players in the CDU, are already, you know, scheming their way to take over.
Yes, I think so. I should say these people in the CDU who are talking with the AfD and presumably some of them who want to engage with Macron also. I'm sure there are some people in Germany who want to do that. The point you understand is they've missed the bus. The AfD, part of its strength is that it is opposed to the CDU. 5 years ago, or even 3 years ago, or directly after the September 2017 federal elections, the AfD might have been willing to talk with a post-Merkel CDU. But with the CDU imploding, why should they? Why should the AfD throw away the one thing that is making them stronger, which is the fact that they are an anti-establishment party, which is attacking the CDU from the right? So I don't really see the political logic of this. And as for Macron, he doesn't want, I think, to engage with the CDU or anybody within the CDU on the CDU's terms. He wants to simply take the whole thing, the whole EU, over and to impose his ideas on the CDU. And as he sees the CDU weakening because they've clung on to Merkel for so long, he has no reason to talk with them. From the SPD, you have people like Finance Minister Scholz talking about banking unions. Well, that might have been a possible way forward had it been proposed some years ago. There's no way it's going to be accepted in Germany now. The AfD is bound to oppose it. So is the CDU, because with the AfD breathing down their back, they will never agree to it. And Merkel can't agree to it because her position is becoming so precarious. The fact is, all of these people held on to Merkel for far too long. Now they are faced with a situation where if they move against her and get rid of her, the risk is that they will go down with her. And that's why they're holding back from carrying out the terminal strike.
Why did Macron fold to Merkel with regard to Brexit, Alexander? Why did Macron fold there?
I think that Macron calculates that Merkel will be gone very soon. And I think he probably said to himself, there's going to be a SPD conference. It's December. The SPD will at that point probably pull out of the coalition with Merkel. Merkel will be gone by then. So why should I bring upon myself a row in October when I can get all that I want effortlessly in December? I think that is a profoundly mistaken strategy. It is certainly not one that Charles de Gaulle would have followed in the 60s. The fact of the matter is, if you miss your moment, you have no guarantee that it will ever come. It's highly possible because, as I said, Germany is in stasis. It's unable to move forward, that we will still get Merkel there in December. I find that an incredible fact, but it has to be seen as true. She shows no desire to go. And at the same time, even if she does go, the greater likelihood is not that Macron is going to find things easier with Merkel gone, but with a political crisis in Germany, it might become more difficult. And his integrationist policies, which now, by the way, increasingly include centralizing European defense in a grand European army, a grande armée, of which he will be emperor. The opposition in Germany to all of that, I think, is simply going to grow. So, if you put off fighting your battles, more often than not, it ends up to your disadvantage. And that, I think, what's going to happen with Macron. He's not a strong leader at the end of the day, whatever it is that he pretends to be.
All right, a CDU with Merkel at the helm, with Merkel leading it, even though they're in a state of this stasis that you mentioned, Alexander. Can they compete with the AfD? And can the AfD rise up to be, say the number one party in Germany, or at least be a top player in Germany? I mean, they've shown in regional elections and local and regional elections that they can take on the CDU and go head to head with the CDU and at many times beat the CDU. In a federal election, can the AfD defeat the CDU, especially given the fact that you have Merkel at this moment in time leading the CDU?
If you'd asked me that question 2 years ago, or even a year ago, I would have said no. Now, I think it is becoming increasingly likely. To be very clear, at this moment in time, the AfD is only polling nationally around 14%, and it's coming under great resistance in many places in Western Germany. But of course, it overtook the CDU in Thuringia, a region of Germany where the CDU was for many years, between 1992 and 2014, was the dominant party. So anyone who assumes that that isn't going to happen would be very foolish. Look at what has happened to the SPD, Germany's oldest party, for many decades, many times Germany's biggest party, the party that dominated German political life in the 1920s, that dominated German political life again from the late 1960s right through to the mid-1980s, the party which was again in power under Gerhard Schroeder in the early and mid-2000s. And now it's polling roughly level with the AfD, with every likelihood that the AfD is going to overtake it. Now, the SPD was once as mighty a force in German politics as the CDU was. So if the SPD can collapse in that way, why not the CDU?
Does Merkel have a popular base in Germany? I mean, we know that Germany is heading into recession now, but does Merkel still have a wide support in Germany that can keep her at the top, leading Germany?
Oh, yes, she does. I mean, she is a very, very skillful politician, and she's been extremely skilled at projecting a certain public image, which is that of the thrifty, straightforward Christian German Hausfrau who, you know, keeps all the books balanced, who, you know, follows a straight line, who's always moderate and sensible and all those things. And these are things which appeal to Germans, to many people in Germany. I mean, and understandably so. Germany is a country which has historically always prized that kind of very structured, orderly approach to things. The point is, that's Merkel's image. But the reality of Merkel is actually very different. In that, yes, she is hardworking, she is methodical, she is absolutely not straightforward or trustworthy. On the contrary, she is extremely treacherous. She is also someone who, because she's so, you know, protective of her position, never takes risks that will threaten her own position very much. And she is exceedingly ambitious. What is happening in Germany increasingly is that the discordance between Merkel's image and Merkel's reality is becoming so great that more and more people in Germany are starting to see it. And with the sense in Germany that things are in, you know, stasis, that they're not, that Germany's drifting, that the country's in a state of vacuum and not moving forward, more and more people are beginning to become increasingly exasperated with her. And you see in more and more places that there is now an anti-Merkel vote, which is becoming increasingly the dominant vote. So yes, she still has some popular support. It is dwindling away. And the opposition to her, the popular opposition to her, is becoming ever stronger.
It looks like Merkel's taken a hit on her popularity on an international level as well, Alexander. I mean, there was a time, say, you know, 6-8 years ago when she was part of that Obama Rat Pack that everyone, you know, was enamored with Merkel and they thought, Merkel, wow, what a great leader, what a prudent leader of Germany, what an intelligent leader she is. And that was, you know, her golden years with Obama and Renzi, Cameron, you know, Hollande, all these guys. But now it seems that no one likes Merkel at all. I mean, she doesn't have any friends left anymore. She's the last person of that Rat Pack that's still standing, her and Trudeau, actually. So it seems that Merkel has become isolated. You know, Orban doesn't like her. Salvini doesn't like her. Macron is trying to displace her. Trump didn't like her from the get-go. Putin doesn't like to deal with her. It seems that on an international level, Merkel is very much all alone.
No. I mean, once upon a time, she had made a major effort, for example, to develop a very close relationship between China and Germany. And to some extent, she still tries to maintain that. I mean, she still, for example, tries to keep keep Germany involved with Huawei and all of that. But I understand even the Chinese at a personal level have soured on her because they don't trust her. No one does.
Yeah, she just doesn't have any friends or allies anymore. At one point in time, you know, everyone wanted to deal with her and everybody admired her. Now no one wants to deal with her at all. It's almost like no one wants to touch her.
You see, the problem with Merkel is this. She always comes across as being very reasonable. This is, you know, one of the great skills in diplomacy. She always appears to be on your side when you deal with her and to agree with her and to agree with you. And she always says, you know, where there's a will, there's a way. We'll find some way forward. And she makes promises, lots and lots of promises. She doesn't keep her promises. And one gets increasingly the impression she doesn't intend to either, that she makes these promises in order to maneuver you into a position where she can take advantage. And she's just done that too much now. Too many people have seen through this. Trump, to his credit, always saw through it. Putin found it out back in 2014 over Ukraine. Macron has found it out also. And as I said, the Chinese have soured on her. And David Cameron has published very bitter memoirs in which he talks about the half-life of a Merkel promise. And undoubtedly, a lot of that has been communicated across the political system in Britain. So more and more people have become very suspicious of her. I forgot to mention, by the way, President Erdogan of Turkey, who, of course, is not to be trusted either. But he doesn't like Merkel for all sorts of reasons also.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good point. Erdogan doesn't particularly like Merkel either. No. I mean, he's threatened her many times that he's going to, you know, flood Europe with refugees. Yeah. And Merkel, you know, always complies with whatever Erdogan says. So, I mean, Erdogan really plays Merkel really well. But you can tell he doesn't like her. And I mean, I think the entire UK public soured on Merkel during the 3-year Brexit saga. And I think it culminated when they were at that EU summit with May and they were both wearing the same blue dress and they were laughing and, you know, just really living it up as they were crafting the final touches to May's treacherous Brexit agreement. And so, I mean, you have the entire UK that I think at this point despises Merkel. I mean, she really has to step down for the good of her party, don't you think?
Yeah, she needs to go. But for the good of her party, for the good of her country, for the good of Europe, she's not going. That's the trouble. She's clinging on to no obvious purpose, because I don't really see why Merkel is still there. I mean, obviously, as I said, there would be a political crisis. When she goes, but the reason there will be that crisis is because she's overstayed her time for so long. She should have gone after the September 2017 federal elections, when the German people made it fairly clear they didn't want her as Chancellor anymore.
Excellent point. Well said, Alexander McCurse, Editor-in-Chief of The Durant. Thank you very much. Guys, please subscribe to this video. Click on that subscribe button down below and click on that notifications bell. And get an audio copy of this video. Go to iTunes and SoundCloud. You will find links in the description box down below. Please donate to The Durant, PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. Your donation helps keep this channel up and running. We appreciate every donation very, very much. And also go to Telegram and subscribe to us there at thedurant.com. Telegram, we will be posting all kinds of content. Just about everything we do will go to the Telegram channel. And we'll also post coupons and special offers and discounts to Durant merchandise. Alexander, the Durant shop. Go to the Durant shop, pick up some great merch, magic mugs, magic shirts, like that awesome Lavrov mug that you are holding in your hand right there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Look what a great mug it is with, as I say, Lavrov on it. We've got We Love Li Lavrov on it, which we do, by the way. I mean, we think, and I certainly think, that he is the greatest foreign diplomat, the greatest diplomat in the world today. And I think that isn't just our view. I mean, I think this is a very widespread consensus. I mean, you only have to see him in action at places like the UN General Assembly to see the extraordinary respect and authority with which he is received, including, by the way, by the diplomats of the Western countries that are opposed to him. I mean, the word that you hear is that the greatest test of a diplomat is to actually survive an encounter with Lavrov, because he is so well briefed, he is so on top of his game, that if you can keep up with him, that shows that you're a diplomat to be taken seriously. Our foreign minister in Britain, by the way, who is now our prime minister, Boris Johnson, failed that test as foreign secretary disastrously. But anyway, enough about Lavrov. Here is the mug. 15 ounces, beautiful porcelain, keeps us sustained as we work long hours preparing our videos and explaining things to you on our program. We have lots of other mugs, just like that one, without Lavrov on them. This is a mug, for example, with the emblem of the Russian Federation. This is another mug with the emblem of Moscow. Double-headed eagles, as you can see. Different from the double-headed eagle that we have on all our shirts, which is the Durant double-headed eagle. You can see it's actually quite distinctive. This one is beautifully embroidered on this really smart, elegant polo shirt. I love these polo shirts. I own three, and I'm going to get more of them because I feel so great in them. And I'm told by informed people that I look great in them too, and I'm sure that's true because they are great. So, wonderful polo shirts. We have lots of other great shirts too. We have t-shirts, short sleeve t-shirts, long sleeve t-shirts, v-neck shirts. We have hoodies. We've got hats. We've got stickers. All of them beautifully made. Our competitors are trying to copy them and are making terrible copies of them. But our buyers tell us overwhelmingly what great merchandise we sell. So help the Durant, help yourself, buy these beautiful things. Alex will tell you how to do it.
There is a link in the description box down below, thedurantshop.com. Alexander McCurse, Editor-in-Chief of The Durant. Thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.